You may remember the conversation I had last year with Dave Eggers and Valentino Achakdeng, the lost boy from Sudan he collaborated with on the novelized autobiography, What is the What? Well, since then, proceeds from book sales have funded projects for a school, library, and athletic field in Mariel Bay, Mr. Deng's hometown in Sudan. Now, What is the What is being released in paperback, and it brings Dave Eggers back to the show. Hi.
Hi.
Remind us, what is a novelized autobiography?
This was basically a biography told in first person, written by me, but told in Valentino's voice, and with the novelized part is giving it the shape and form and hopefully artfulness that a novel can do in breathing life into the story and having the benefit of detail and dialogue and all these things that you get.
Right, you can make up the dialogue in a novel, but in a real autobiography, at least in theory, you are going back to original sources, transcripts, whatever.
Exactly.
Can you give us some background on who Valentino Achakdeng is for the people who haven't read the book and didn't hear that interview last year?
Yeah, well, Valentino grew up in southern Sudan near the border between, the ostensible border between north and south, not too far from southern Darfur. And just like what is happening in Darfur now, he was militias armed and abetted by the government of Sudan were unleashed and drove him out of his town when he was a very young boy. He was separated from his family. He and hundreds of boys and then later thousands were driven out of the country and made their way to safety in Ethiopia, an 800-mile trek.
Now, why Ethiopia? Chad is closer, and many of the refugee camps are in Chad. Ethiopia requires going across a fairly large body of water.
Well, at the time, Ethiopia was a safe haven for the SPLA, the rebel army, the Sudan People's Liberation Army and movement. They had an arrangement that they were allies at that time, and so they said, you know, they had military bases there, the SPLA did, and so it was a safe place to send the refugees at the time.
That was when Mengistu was still in charge of Ethiopia. So
and then,
when he fell, everything changed?
When he fell, tens of thousands of refugees were driven out of the country basically overnight and at gunpoint, and they were shot at, and thousands died along the way, and they were driven back into Sudan. And there they went from camp to camp for about a year until finally the refugees, mostly unaccompanied minors like Valentino, who was maybe 9 or 10 years old at the time, made their way to northwest Kenya, where they were given a sanctuary in what became the Kakuma refugee camp.
And now he's living in the United States.
Yeah, he spent 10 years at Kakuma, and in 2000-2001, the U.S. Resettled about 3,800 of the young men, unaccompanied minors, who were at this time in their late teens and early 20s and all in cities all over the country.
The book opens with Valentino being robbed in his apartment in Atlanta. How has the transition to life in America gone for him since that traumatic experience?
Much better. I mean, you know, that Valentino was robbed in October of 2005. He opened the door. A woman asked to use his phone. He let her inside.
Because he was a trusting person.
He's trusting of everyone to this day. And he's just an incredibly optimistic and trusting person and compassionate. And she was followed by a cohort who held a gun to Valentino's head and beat him unconscious and robbed the apartment. And so this is how the book is framed, in this sort of this period where he was robbed. He went to the police. They were very indifferent. He went to a hospital afterward and waited 12 or so hours without getting treatment. This is all as it happened. And it sort of illustrates that even though the Lost Boys of Sudan were given sanctuary here in the U.S., and that's a good thing, the struggle continued. This was a couple years after Valentino, well, almost 4 years after he got resettled, and was still struggling on so many levels. And so it's to illustrate that, immigrants like the Sudanese, but of all origins, need our help and compassion.
Well, the book suggests, and a film on the Lost Boys suggests even more, that there's a certain amount of jealousy amongst the Lost Boys. Has that Valentino's prominence led to any problems with some of the other guys?
Not a bit. You know, I think that there's always there's always concern about that, I guess. But the Lost Boys, you know, the so-called Lost Boys, because these are all men, have banded together. They're doing so many projects. It seems like every guy I know has a project going on in his hometown. And so they're all pulling together now. And whether or not in the early days there were a few, because things were so tight in terms of resources, they were only given 3 months of aid. I think that there was some competition for those scarce resources.
Well, they'd had a rough time, an incredibly rough time of one sort back home, and now they had a different kind of rough time here. But so many things did happen along the way in Valentino's life, swimming across alligator-infested rivers while being shot at, having to stave off starvation, the sort of thing that Americans really would even find it hard to connect to.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the atrocities that these guys witnessed were sort of, they actually helped, A, bring the world's attention to the plight of the southern Sudanese and helped, you know, in terms of the U.S. interest in them and in resettling them. And then once they were resettled here, because they were also willing to tell their story, they wanted the word out, they wanted to be spokespersons for their country and the suffering that they had undergone for 20 years of civil war. A lot was done, and an end was brought to the war between the North and the South, largely because people's attentions were so gripped by what they'd seen.
Well, Valentino, is a Dinka. Were the Dinka particularly a particular problem for the Sudanese government?
Yes, they were the primary target.
They were the main tribe involved in the insurrection?
Yeah, the SPLA was considered a mostly Dinka movement, and even though it encompassed all kinds of people from all over Sudan, and they had wide support from all walks of life, and even people in the north and east and west, but the Dinka villages from whence the SPLA, you know, purportedly came and did come in many cases, those were those that were punished by the militias. And, you know, and this government of Sudan, just as they're doing now in Darfur, they try to divide and conquer. So they tried to split up all the different tribes in southern Sudan, the Nuer from the Dinka, et cetera. And they were very successful in times in doing that.
Dave Eggers is here to talk about his novelized autobiography, What is the What?, which is now available in paperback from Vintage, the New York Times bestseller. What's happened since the book was published last year? Has it changed Valentino's life?
It has, quite a bit. Valentino's now in college at Allegheny College in Pennsylvania, and that's why he's not here today. You know, he's been able to attend college full-time. All the proceeds from the book, we always agreed, would go toward a foundation that Valentino would form and head up. And he had, you know, a lot of plans for his hometown right when we started the project, and it was just a matter of me finishing the book so he could enact these plans. And so now he's heading back. We were back in Sudan, back in his hometown this summer, getting community feedback in terms of Valentino had plans. He wanted to build a primary school and a community center, a vocational center, athletic complex in his hometown, all the things that we knew were needed. And then when he went back this summer, he first listened to the PTA, to the parents, to the elders, to the teachers, what's needed. And the plans changed a little bit to a secondary school, because there's only a few secondary schools functioning in the whole region of Barrio Gazal, this large region that Mario Baez sits in. And they also need teacher training. So that became part of it, as a teacher training center. And Valentino will go back in a few weeks, and building will begin right when the rains settle down in early January.
How is he dealing with his celebrity? One of my producers was reading I hate to admit that my producers read gossip magazines, but she saw a photo of Angelina Jolie carrying a copy of What is the What? And the book was a bestseller. There must be people at his school, people back home, who know that he's been connected with this great success.
Well, I think that even in Kakuma, when he was a young teenager, maybe 12, 13 years old, he was a spokesperson then. And he was the liaison between the UNHCR and 6,000 youth. He was in charge of communicating, you know, to them and, you know, finding good ways to communicate educational messages to those at the camp. And so I think a lot of the Sudanese are used to him being a spokesperson and being in the public eye. And so it hasn't changed that much. I think that, yeah, we saw the picture with Angelina Jolie. Anybody that's brought to Valentino's story, no matter how they come about it, is a good thing, I think.
Didn't many people in Mar-el-Bai, his hometown, doubt whether you and Valentino would actually make good on all of the promises that you'd made?
Absolutely. That's so funny. In 2003 we promised to come back, and then when we were there this summer, the first question out of everybody's mouth was, when are you coming back? When is it going to be real? I hope you're not making empty promises, because people do make promises. They had a Westerner, I guess a woman from Germany, had come, made some promises, hadn't fulfilled them, and I don't know whose fault that was.
Maybe she couldn't come up with the money or whatever.
Any number of things. And so many of the Sudanese who are resettled here want to do projects in their hometowns, but they can't raise enough funds. But I think that that's why Valentino wanted to go back as soon as he could and get started, as soon as the supplies could come to Mar-el-Bai, and he's going to do that as quickly as possible.
You wrote in your travel notes that many of the lost boys seem like tourists in Sudan. They've been away so long that they don't really feel the total connection that they might have otherwise.
Yeah, there was a lot lost. I mean, it's one of the many things that's lost during a 20-year war, is that all of these young guys were disconnected from their culture. I mean, they had vestiges of it in the camps, but there's so many things that they learn along the way. Valentino's only spent like a month in his hometown since he was six. So,
And although when they were resettled through the U.S., Canada, and elsewhere, many people thought that they would eventually return and help rebuild Sudan, many of them, I guess it's like the Cuban emigres, they said, we're going to go back, but now, well, maybe we've become too Americanized.
Well, there's a mixture.
We'd like to help others.
I think some are going to go back, and I think they're waiting for the infrastructure to sort of be a little bit better in place. And also, there's so many guys, and Valentino is one of them, first finishing their education here, and that takes a long time. They just got their citizenship about a year ago, and so so many of them couldn't qualify for student loans and things like this. And so there's a long way to go, but I think that many of the Lost Boys will return, and then a lot of them think that they can do more good here by making money here, sending it back, and sending expertise when they can.
What's Mar-el-Bai like? How many people live there?
They say about 15,000. It's very spread out. It's a very rural town.
Have most of the people returned?
A lot are returning. Thousands have returned. When we were there before in 2003, there was no schools functioning. You know, it was a very depressed place, and you could still see, you know, the remnants of the last attack about a year before. And this last time we were there, about 1,000 kids in school, totally bustling, rebuilding, construction going on everywhere. Returnees from all over, from Ethiopia, from Kenya, from Khartoum, and they're very optimistic, and they're ready to go, and they're using education as the main tool and main goal and the light going forward.
In your travel notes, which we have a link to on our show page here at WNYC.org, you have some photos of him pointing to places where he hid during raids by the Sudanese army.
Yeah, there's one picture of a bullet hole at his uncle's place, his uncle's compound in Awil, which is they fled and hid out there for a while because his father was suspected of collaborating with the rebels. So they knew that they were staying there, and one night there was just a hail of bullets, and luckily nobody was hit, but the Sudanese army or operatives thereof shot through and tried to either intimidate his father and uncle, or actually tried to kill them.
So who runs this part of Sudan, the Sudanese government or the Sudan People's Liberation Army?
Well, the SPLA, SPLM, took over the governance of Southern Sudan. It's called the Government of Southern Sudan. And they are largely autonomous in terms of running the South. And they're just getting started on it. This is a revolutionary army that suddenly was in a position of power. And so there's a lot of catching up to do. And now it's just a matter of getting the resources. They're supposed to be splitting the oil revenue that comes from the South 50-50 between the North and the South. And there's a lot of questions whether or not the North, whether Khartoum is actually being fair about that split and really delivering those funds. But, you know, they're very optimistic, and it's just a matter of maintaining that peace, which is very dicey right now. It's threatened.
I understand you just want to... Is it a TED Prize, TED Prize?
Yeah, there's a conference that's held every year in Monterey, California, where they bring in sort of technology innovators and they give award. And they give an award every year with that. Somebody is allowed to make a wish to all the attendees to sort of something that might improve the country or the world. And so I have to think of what that wish will be.
I understand you'll be speaking tonight at 7 p.m. at Strand Bookstore, Broadway,
yep.
12th Street. Will Valentino be there?
No, but he's in school. But a friend of his, Abraham Awalich, who we work with a lot, he has his own educational foundation called the New Sudan Educational Initiative. He'll be with me. And together we'll talk about the book and his experiences and his foundation, and we'll look at some slides and video from this last trip.
Well, for listeners who want to know more about the book and who would like to hear Valentino, we have also provided a link to the interview that we did last year, and that's also at our show page at WNYC.org. Congratulations on the award and on the fact that so many people have responded to this book in the way that they have. What is the What by Dave Eggers is published by Vintage. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Dave.
Thank you so much.